So our gospel reading this morning comes from Matthew, chapter 21, verses 23 through 32. When he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching, and they said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" And they argued with one another. "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the crowd, for all regarded John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' He answered, 'I will not.' But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same. And he answered, 'I go, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said, 'The first.' Jesus said to them, 'Truly I tell you, tax collectors and prostitutes are going to the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him." God, help us to understand this text and its meaning for our lives. I pray that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, will be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. So, when a civilian goes into the military, civilian, age 18, goes to the military, I signed a contract. And when I signed that contract, I had a great recruiter, he explained it, and I understood it. When I signed the contract and I raised my right hand, I gave up any authority I had over my physical self. When the military said jump, after I signed the contract, I would just ask how high. That was about it. And that's kind of how it worked. So I gave up my authority willingly. Sometimes I hear with veterans, some people say, veterans write a check to the United States government that includes and is up to and including death, which is true. If the government tells you you're going to go somewhere and that's a possibility, that's what it is. So, Dr. McDougal, Chuck Norsing, John, right? Yep, John Winston, okay? They understood in some manner, you were in the military too, weren't you? Yes. So see, I missed, I apologize. Understood that they gave up that authority willingly. Some were drafted. This kind of sits where the age is. Okay. Now, we all have that authority back now that we've finished our military service. So that's what the temple or the elders and the chief priests are asking of Jesus. Who gave you that authority to do what you did? Who gave you the authority to clean the temple? Who gave you the authority to sit here and teach in the temple? Who gave you that authority? That's what they're asking. To understand what they are truly asking him, we must go back a little bit to get a better understanding of our verses. So last week, Jesus taught us that whether we're first or last in the church, we get the same benefits at the kingdom of heaven. This week, we find Jesus all of a sudden in Jerusalem, confronting the Sadducees and the Pharisees. So this is the last week of Jesus' life. That's where these verses fall. So we jumped over Jesus telling his disciples of his death and resurrection a third time, James and John's mother asking for the two of them to sit at the right and the left hand of Jesus. He heals two blind men. And we also jumped over the triumphal entry, as well as Jesus cleansing the temple. That all happened on day one. of his final week. So we normally talk about those verses around Easter time so that we get a fuller picture of what happened in the last week of Jesus' life. In Matthew, on the second day after Jesus has cleansed the temple and the triumphal entry, prior to entering the temple, Jesus sees a fig tree. And when he sees it, that it has no fruit for his breakfast, he curses it, and it withers. He uses it as an example to his disciples. So the point of his curse is a symbolic act prior to the condemnation of the chief priests and elders that our verses talk about and that we're going to cover for the next couple weeks. Parables that condemn them for not bringing forth the authentic fruit of righteousness and justice. The fig tree story is also a metaphor for good works. 17 times Matthew has Jesus using fruit as a representation of the judgment of God on those who have the external appearance of productivity but bear no real fruits. So the triumphal entrance and the cleansing of the temple are the two events that evoke the Sadducees and Pharisees to look for Jesus' papers where his authority resides. They are questioning his authority. What rabbi or teacher or what earthly thing lets him do this? They believe that if they can learn that, they can then trump Jesus with their own earthly papers. So, I don't know if first century rabbis had a sheepskin. I don't know if any of you even heard of a sheepskin. You may have. Or a college degree is what it used to be called. But that is what they want Jesus to produce. Here's what they want to see. So this was for the kids, but you guys get it. So here is my sheepskin. This is my degree for special education. I believe we have two teachers back there that have the same piece of paper. But back in the medieval ages, they used to write them on sheepskins so that you could roll them up and you could take them from town to town to prove who you were. So that is what they're looking for from want Jesus to produce. Here is what they want to see. Whoa. So this degree that I showed you is from man. It has no more authority than any human places upon it. That's what they want to see from Jesus. That's not what he provides. He counters them with a question of his own. Now, he's not being rude or trying to evade the question. It is a very common Jewish practice to answer a question with one of your own. By doing so, he is tying his own authority from God with John the Baptist's authority from God. By asking the question, he puts the chief priests and elders in a pinch. If they answer John the Baptist's authority came from heaven, obviously Jesus' next question is, why didn't you follow him as an example of what the people should have done? For he must have been a prophet. Answer that John the Baptist's authority did not come from heaven, and that he was just a man, and you will incur the wrath of the people, because they truly believed he was a prophet. And at that same time, that would also be implying that Jesus' authority did not also come from heaven, and that what had just happened at the triumphal entry and the cleansing of the temple were not allowed by heaven. Summed up, either give up some of your authority, chief priests and elders, change the status quo, and acknowledge that John and Jesus came from heaven. Or call the crowds of the people who believe John and Jesus have come from heaven and have God's authority liars. They lost the battle before it ever began. Jesus then tells this parable. This is the first of three parables, like I said, we'll be going over the next 3 weeks. All three parables are aimed directly at the chief priests and the elders of the Israelite people. The parable of the two sons is a familiar idea to the listeners of Matthew's gospel. If you look back in Jewish history, you have Cain and Abel, Jacob and Esau, Joseph and his brothers, Aaron and Moses, and on down the line. Brothers that are an example of the Jewish history. One is asked to go work for in his father's vineyard, and he says no, but later goes. One that is asked to go and does not lies to his father. Jesus asked which one does the will of the father. Chief priests and elders answer, the first one, of course. Jesus uses the two sons' parable as an allegorical idea. The first son, who says no, but goes anyways, is like the tax collectors and prostitutes. Early in life, they made decisions that went against their heavenly father's wishes, but they came back and did what God wanted. The second son, who said he would go but did not, is like the chief priests and elders. They preach and say what the people should do, but they do not apply that to themselves. They do not lead by example, and they are unwilling to give up any of their power. They will not change the status quo. They are stuck in their tradition and are going to follow the law blindly. The point of the parable of the two sons is that repentance and actual obedience, not lip service, are what avail with God. Jesus' teaching is that what counts with God is actual righteous conduct. Even those who do not know that they are working for God will be rewarded. So what is the good news Jesus wants us to hear this morning? Believe it or not, we have to go back to what Esther read to us in the New Testament, Philippians 2, except verses 5 through 13, when Paul reminds us of the example that Jesus left us. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him, gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So David Lowe summarized that last part this way. So what does it look like to work out our salvation with fear and trembling? It means going about our everyday tasks and duties with the conviction that the gospel is true. That is, that love is stronger than hate, that life is stronger than death, and that God's promised future is bigger and better than either the past we've created or the future we deserve. And because the gospel is true, we are free to regard others, treat others, and care for others as Christ did. Jesus told us by whose authority our calling comes from and what we are to do with that authority in Matthew 28, 19, and 20. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always till the end of the age. Amen.